So we are really at the end, or we're at the beginning, just depending which way you want to look at it. We're at the end of the cycle of the Yomim Tovim. We're the beginning of a year of meaningful taking that forward. So let's try to spend a little bit of time learning about this. Here is the question. Here is the question that we're going to start with. The question is the following. Is that we know, it's fascinating where we know this from, that each of the Yomim Tovim is reflected in each of the Avos. Wanted to thank Shalom for facilitating this beautiful Seuda on Hoshana Rabbah. This has now become a good chazaka that we've been learning together on Hoshana Rabbah. And this is sponsored by Shalom and Lori Huberfeld Lilu Nishmas, Avram Tzvi ben Shalom, Shalom's grandfather, whose Hayatzad is Simchas Torah itself. Thank you for making this possible. I'd like to just think about this, the following question. We know that each of the Yomim Tovim are reflected in a particular Av, a particular patriarch. And in fact, this is taught to us. One of the interesting locations this is taught to us is in a halachic sefer called the Tur. The Tur was Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, and he actually taught us in an obscure fashion. In the halachas of Rosh Chodesh, he tells us in the second source, V'shamati me'achai hari, he hears this from his brother, L'daber l'davar l'fisha mo'adim niskanu k'neged avois. We know that the festivals were established corresponding to the forefathers. Avram, k'neged Avram, Pesach k'neged Avram, d'chsev, lushi v'asi ugois, u'pesach hoya. According to this tradition, the time that he was making the ugois was on Pesach. And shavuos k'neged Yitzchak, shavuos is corresponding to Yitzchak, shetekiyas shofar shel matan Torah hoya b'shofar me'eloi shel Yitzchak. The shofar which is recorded in Parshas Yisro, when Hashem is, so to speak, descending upon Har Sinai, is using the ram's horn of the Akedah. And finally, Sukkos keneged Yaakov dichsiv, v'limikneu osa Sukkos. Yaakov Vinu made for his cattle Sukkos. So then he says, in the Yudbeis Rosh Echad She'eshona, Shigamayim Nikroi Muadim keneged Yuzbeis Shvatim. And each of the Rosh Echadoshim, which is a unique moment in the month, is corresponding to the Yud Beis Shvatim. This is what the Torah says. Now, by the way, this is very uncharacteristic of the Torah in this work. This is his halachic compendium. It's very unusual for him to step aside and give us machshava. It is fascinating why he would do this, especially in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. That's what he's in. The tough Yud Zayin is Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. It is fascinating. He does have another work called the Baal HaTurim on the Torah, and that's very Kabbalistic and philosophical. But nonetheless, usually the twain do not meet. This is a place where he steps in and he gives us the opportunity of understanding this. So my question is the following. By the way, a week ago on Sunday, we spent a little bit of time appreciating the last perspective. Yaakov Nosa Sukkosa, what was Yaakov doing in Sukkos? We spent a little bit of time learning Rav Huttner about this. That was just one dimension. The question is the following. That's all very nice, but what about the extra days? So now we're on Hoshana Rabbah. So yes, it's part of Sukkos, but it's also its own entity to a certain degree. Hoshana Rabbah has its own davening. It's got its own unique form. It's the end of the Yomei Adin, according to many, which is why we treat it as such. Very interesting. What, where does that fall? And then, of course, there's Shmini Atzeres, which really has no mitzvah sayom particularly. So where does that fall into place? Those are the questions. That's the simple question I have looking at this tour. Is where are we now? Where are we now? That's the question. So I'd like to just share with you two basic ideas, what about today and what about tomorrow. And that's going to be our appreciation. So let's start off with today. Today, Hoshana Rabbah. So what does Hoshana Rabbah have to do? So by the way, if you're going to look for any sources in Hoshana Rabbah, you're not going to find them. You're not going to find them in the regular halacha svarim. You have to go deeper. You have to go into Divrei Chassidus. You have to go into Divrei Kabbalah to be able to find it, because Hoshana Rabbah is one of those days which has been hidden. Although there's many hints to it in the Nigla, in the Revealed Torah, one really has to go a little deeper to appreciate what Hoshana Rabbah is. So let's start in the works of the Sfas Emes Rav Yehuda, Aryeh Leib of Gur. And he says a very fascinating idea. You know, we know already from the times of the Mishnah that although the very prominent mitzvah of the first day of Sukkos is the Lulav, the very prominent mitzvah on the last day of Sukkos, which is today, is the Arava. And in fact, the reason why we do the Chibut Arava is as a a throwback to the custom in the Beis HaMikdash, where they would walk around the Mizbeach with Aravos, and they would take these huge Arava, that they would hang these 11 Amo Aravos, which they put around the Mizbeach, Yofilach Mizbeach. There would be a whole procession that would be involved around the Mizbeach. Fascinating. Today is the day of the Arava. So that's our starting point. So says the Sfas Emes, Arava, the Arava that we just used a moment ago, Neged Elu, She'en Lohem Tam V'Reach. We know famously, we're all taught at the age of 4 years old, that there's four different types of Jews. There's Jews who have Tam, there's Jews who have Reach. Those who have taste, those who have smell. There's Torah and there's Masim Tovim. And we know that the Esrog has both Tam V'Reach, it tastes good, it smells good. We know that the Lulav has only taste but not smell, not because we're eating the lulav, but because it produces dates and it has no smell. On the other hand, we have the hadas and the myrtle, which has smell but not taste. And then finally, we have the arava. We're at the end here. We have the arava, nothing. Doesn't produce anything of, we call it human enjoyment, necessarily. It is worthwhile, by the way, noting as an interesting aside, that in the constellation of the composition of the Gdalad Minim, we have the three ones which are, so to speak, deficient in one hand, in the right hand, and we have the one which is fully efficient in by itself in the other hand. That's worthwhile thinking about the idea of perhaps of perfection versus unity. Those are two very important ideas. We're putting the two together, but it's interesting to notice that the Esrog stands by itself, and in the weaker hand, so to speak, figurative speaking, not against anybody who is left-handed or ambidextrous. Nonetheless, that's just something worthwhile thinking. So now, what's Arava? He says, "V'im kein, mash emach shivusam." Why is this so important today if it has no value to us? Ach apeh hu ikar koychon shel Yisrael hakol kol Yaakov, v'hi bechinas David haMelech olav haShalom. He says there's another level of representation of what the Arava means. You know that we talked about the different types of Jew, but there's also the different parts of the body, right? So the heart is the Esrog, the spine is the Lulav. The myrtles are the eyes, the rounder shape, and the arava is the mouth. So he says, it's true, it has nothing, but what does it have? It has the mouth, it has tefillah. That's like David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom. What does that mean? Ki gimel minim hem gimel avos. The other three minim, the lulav, the hadassim, and the esrog, are corresponding to the three forefathers. David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, Omer Va'ani Tefillah. David HaMelech is sometimes only, I am myself a prayer. What does that mean? Im ki bevadai kol atzadikim shiyesh lehem tam v'reach oile lemadregos rabos biyoser. We know that there's very special people, holy people, people who daven a lot, people who have a lot of masim tovim, people who have a lot of Torah, and their tefillos go extremely far into the upper worlds. Aval bichein yesh lehem ta'arovos masim tovim umi she'ein loy tam v'reach hu rak tefila bilvad. There's some people who don't have that portfolio. They just don't have the same reach. But you know what they do have? They have tefillah. Every person, every Jew has tefillah. V'zeh sh'amar tefillah la'ani ki ya'atof. Tefillah is to whom? As Tehillim says, la'ani, a person who's impoverished. Impoverished meaning spiritually impoverished. There's no one who's too poor to pray. That's what he says. Ki ha'inu, sh'misatef kuloi b'tefillah k'moy shekos v'ani tefillah. V'zeh arev lefonov yisparach v'nikreis arov. And that is sweet to him. And that is connected to the word Arava, of course, is Arava. Connects to the word Arava, meaning to say, sometimes we feel that we're not worthy of saying anything. Sometimes we feel that we do not have the prerequisites necessary to talk to the Almighty. And on this day, when David HaMelech himself, and I would say perhaps he doesn't mention this, but perhaps David HaMelech, who had a very complicated life, David HaMelech, who had times in his life where he may have felt that in fact he was out in the cold. He'd taken the wrong turn and there was no way back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Sometimes, even then, tefillah is still available. The arava, even without anything else. It is a day of salvation, of saving. Gam hashefolim she'ein lohem tam v'reach klal. Even those who don't feel they're worthy necessarily of the actual content or action. V'hi Yeshua gam ledoros hashefolim shelanu. And that doesn't mean to say people, that means generations. Meaning a generation like ours that we have perhaps more complications than before. She'en lanu rak tefila. We maybe only have tefila. V'yom zeh niftach shere tefila b'fiyem shel Yisrael. So who is Hoshana Rabbah corresponding to? It's David HaMelech. Why David HaMelech? Because he didn't live as perfect and as pristine and as straightforward and as incandescent a life as the Avos did live. He had complications, he had very low depths and he had very high heights. But at the same time, even the lowest depths, he was still able to daven to Hashem.
Because it's the last day, the reason we're saying it's daven is because it's the last day of the Shiva, right?
And of course, it relates to the fact that this is the seventh of the seventh day of Sukkos, in which we last night invited David HaMelech Olav HaShalom to our Sukkos, which of course relates to, as Shlomo is pointing out, the fact that it is related to David HaMelech. This is perhaps the notion of Hoshana Rabbah. What he has done over here is he's stretched the words a little bit to appreciate that the word Arava is connected to the word Arev, that Arava is connected even though it is tasteless, it is sweet. That's a very fascinating thought, the tasteless, sweet idea. And he's also stretched the word of Hoshana Rabbah, not as the Hoshana as the bundles, but Hoshana as the salvation. The salvation of the person who only has tefillah. I'm sure we've all been in that situation. We can associate the idea of being able to daven. You know, there's a story that was told by Rabbi Riskin. Rabbi Riskin was once in Russia. He was very involved and active with the Soviet Jewry. And there was once he was asked to supervise over a bris. But the bris was being held at the cemetery at 2 o'clock in the morning because of fear from the authorities. So he was called to the bris. The only problem is that Rabbi Riskin, if you know, is a kohen. So he said, I can come with you, but I cannot enter the cemetery. But they thought the cemetery would be the place where, the authorities would not enter. They wouldn't think of entering at this moment in time. So he went with them to the cemetery, and they had to perform the bris deep in the cemetery. They came out, and Rabbi Riskin said to the father, "Keshem shenichnas labris, ken yikonis l'torah l'chupa l'maisim tovim." And the father says, "Nit keshem." No kashem. He says, when I want to marry off my child, I don't want it to be in a cemetery at the darkest of night. I want it to be in public and with rejoicing and nobody telling me what I can or cannot do. And Rabbi Riskin ended up the story. He said that ultimately that child grew up, moved to Israel, and he married him in Yerushalayim, that boy. Isn't that unbelievable? So he says, sometimes, you know, this fellow over here, well, what did he have? This fellow is doing a bris for his son in the Beis HaKvaros. What did he have? What future did he have? But his kashem, his tefillah, even the darkest of places, we can still have. This is the David HaMelech Olav HaShalom. That's Hoshana Rabbah. And sometimes we feel like that. You know, we came to Yom Kippur. Do we really prepare as much as we should have? Do we have everything in place? Are we so different? We go, Hoshana Rabbah. Hashem, did we? And then we say, HaKadosh Baruch, you know what? Please help us. Help us. All we may have is the Arava, our Koyach HaTfilah, when we have nothing else. That's what today is. What's Shmini Atzeres? Let's move on. Shalom, you had a point.
I want to make a point.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's beautiful. As we say in the Hinani, so the idea of Arevos is not necessarily sweet of taste, but sweet of sound. Sweet of, and kolon orev, right? And there we, even earlier, is ki kolech orev umarech noveh, which is the idea is of arevus of the pair, which is a beautiful idea. Connects with
arevus, like you said, like unity, because arevus means like the guarantee.
I wonder about that as well. Yeah. I wonder about that as well. So I'm not sure which direction that goes in. So I'm wondering if it's because of the other people, or we could even say that arevus is perhaps the person who is the Arava has a little more to contribute even on behalf of everybody else, which is a fascinating perspective. Let's shift into this evening for a moment, just to have another perspective. So if Sukkos is, it goes, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Yaakov is Sukkos. If perhaps at the end we have an element of David HaMelech sort of coming in, the end of the Ishpizin, the idea of the Arava to a certain degree, the Kol, Anit Tfilah. What about Shmini Atzeres? So this is, I found a fascinating Medrash. Fascinating Medrash. I copied it in, but sometimes when you copy these things in, it doesn't. Sometimes the lines misalign themselves. So I'm going to actually quote from the actual the Medrash itself. It is a really fascinating Medrash. Listen to how it goes. It says, Halacha. The Halacha is, Adam Yisrael, Shoyachoshesh Ba'oznoi, Mahu Shiyei Mutal Lerfois B'Shavs. Oh, 1 second. This is a different. I'm in Parsha Yud. Sorry. Halacha. Adam Yisrael, Sh'avar Lifnei Ateva V'Ta'a. Let's say a person is going in front of the teva, which means the person is a shliach tzibur, shkoyach shomo, is a beautiful davening today. But in this case, the person made a mistake. So what do you do? Now, by the way, do not take this halacha l'maisa, because there's many different disputes here. Halacha l'maisa is a little more complex. But listen to the debate in the Medrash. One option is, Yamoid yavor echo acher tachtov. Replace him. That's it. There's no mercy. You're representing the tefillah. You're representing the community. That's it. One strike and out. take a seat, please, sir, and we carry on. Right? That's number one. Limdunu Rabboisainu, Omer Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Ta Begimel Brachas Rishonis Choyzer Betchilas Hamagen. So where do you start from? So one option is you start from Magen. If you made a mistake in the first three brachas, we view them as one unit, and therefore you have to return to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, which is generally the halacha if one's, let's say, makes a mistake in Mashiva Ruach, which might be no good in a few days' time. Rav Huna Omar Im Ta Begimel Brachas Im Soyos Choyzer LaHakel HaKodesh. If a person makes a bracha in the three middle brachas, he goes to the beginning of Hakel HaKadosh. By the way, which Shmoneh Esrei has three emtsayos, three middle brachas?
Rosh Hashanah.
Only Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Yeah. It's interesting that that's what he's talking about. Usually we have 13 interceding brachas on Yom Tov 1. So it's interesting. Only on Rosh Hashanah do you have three in the middle. Mm-hmm. Just fascinating. That's the end of the third. I mean, the end of the first set, essentially. Yeah. So again, don't know the halacha, but we see them as sets, essentially. Rav Omar, Im Ma'ata Begimel Achronos, Choyzer L'Tchilas Moedim. If you made a mistake in the last three, you go to the beginning of Moedim. That's fascinating because that's really the penultimate bracha.
Right, we always go back to Ritzei whenever we...
Yes, fascinating. So again, the halacha of this is not going to come out, play out in the same way, but just, the debate is fascinating, and you'll see why in a second. Dover Acher. Ha'ovel ifnei ha'teva v'toa, yavor acher tachtov. Another option is if a person makes a mistake, he's replaced. U'minayin u'masi, but where do you... There's a new person to start from. Mitchilas ha'bracha she'toa. From the place that the mistake was made. Let's say a person made a mistake in Hashivenu. So the person said the wrong bracha, finished off the wrong way. Or he sits back down, somebody stands up, and they start at the place that the mistake was made. Why? We learn this from the Avos. Each of the Avos continued from where the previous one left off. What does that mean? Ketzad. This means like as follows. Avram Biriches Yitzchak. Avram blessed Isaac, Shneimar, Minayin, Shendirse, Vayitzen, Avram es kol asher lo liYitzchak. Uma nasanoi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, but now this is where the copies of here don't are misaligned. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Bechora nasanoi, he gave him the Bechora, Kinyan Shneimar, Vayim kores Bechora sol Yaakov. Rabbi Nechemia, Omer, Bracha nasanoi, Kinyan Shneimar, Vayitzen es Elokim, Vayitzen es Elokim. So Avram Avinu either gave him the firstborn right, which is the right to service, or he gave him, which is, by the way, interesting because Yitzchak was not the firstborn. Or he gave him the bracha which he was going to transmit to Yaakov. Amad Yitzchak levorech es Yaakov. Amar mimakom shepasak abba misham ani maschil. Yitzchak, when he wanted to bless Yaakov, or who he thought was perhaps Esau at that time, where did he start? He started from where Avram, his father, left off. Abba hivsek beviyitein afani maschil beviyitein. He ended up with the words yitein. So what was the bracha? What's the word starting the bracha was given to Yaakov? Beviyitein lecha. And you should give to you. Minayin shenema v'yitinuch alakim. U'amechosam Yitzchak b'kriya shenema v'yikro Yitzchak el Yaakov v'yivarechos. So he calls Yaakov and he blesses him before he goes off. So he ends off the bracha with, that was the last time essentially he spent time and gave him a bracha, was with calling him. Therefore, amad Yaakov v'yivareches ha'shvatim amar eni poseach ela b'kriya shenema v'yikro Yaakov el espanov. U'amechosam so Yaakov Inu starts off with kriya when he calls his sons around his bedside at his death. He starts off with the same word that his father Yitzchak ended off with him. So there's a continuum. There's a sequence between what Avram gave to Yitzchak, Yitzchak gave to Yaakov, and Yaakov gave to the Shvatim. And now, here's the kicker. Uvameh chasam bezois. How does he conclude with the word bezois? Shenemar bezois asher diber lohem avihem. Omar Moshe levorech es Yisrael Omar. Eini poseach ela bezois. Minayin mimashe korinu binyan bezois abrocha. So when Moshe Rabbeinu stands up at the end of the Torah to give the bracha to all the Shvatim, the Birkas Moshe Rabbeinu, which we're about to read on Simchas Torah and Eretz Yisrael tomorrow on Shemini Atzeres, what do we start with? V'zois. Why is it V'zois HaBracha? Because that's where Yaakov Avinu left off. So what do we see? The Midrash is using this to say that when a mistake is made in Tefillah, what do? We continue from the place that we left off. So how do we know that? Because the Avos continued from the place, and Moshe continued from the place where the Avos left off. Now, if you think about this in terms of pattern, you see a fascinating pattern over here. We have Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, brachas, and then who's the fourth bracha? The continuation of that, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, when do we read the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu? Is on Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah, essentially. So who is ultimately Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah is? Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's the fourth wheel, essentially, in this trajectory of Yav, continuing that idea, which is why, perhaps those, the Chazal, when they finished the, we'll call it, annual circuit of the Torah, that's finished when? On Shemini Atzeres. They decided that's going to be the time, so we're going to conclude the Torah, finishing with the way Moshe Rabbeinu concluded the Torah, V'zois. At the end, V'zois HaBracha, which is why we end over here. So it's fascinating because we already invited Moshe Rabbeinu to the Sukkah on as an Ushpizin early on, but the notion of Shminat Seres happens to be Moshe. So this, and in fact, the Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, has a very interesting insight where he says that if you look at this in a certain sense, it's not just a continuation; it's building upon. So Avram built, Yitzhak built upon Avram, Yaakov built upon Yitzhak and Avraham, and Moshe Rabbeinu built upon all three of those ideas. And that's why at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu is being talked to, if you take a look in Source 6, it says, Va'yedaber Elokim Moshe, Va'yomer Elov Ani Hashem, Va'era El Avraham Ve'El Yitzhak Ve'El Yaakov Bekel Shakai Ushmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lohem. I appeared to the Avos in a certain dimension, with the notion of what's called Kel Shakai, but Ushmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lohem means to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm endowing you with the next level of Yediyah, Atoha Reis Olah Das, which you're going to now, Ki Hashem Elohim, which you're learning now in Simchas Torah, which is when we get, so to speak, the next level of Torah, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, but it gets further. If you want to actually dig into what our understanding of this, there's a Sfas Emes as well on this, who says, I think this is a very deep idea. This just takes a little bit of absorbing. I think it's important to sort of put this on the simmer for a few days to understand the Sfas Emes. But what he says is a very interesting insight, and let's try to understand the words themselves we can translate, but the idea, it takes a little bit of understanding to penetrate. Here we go. So this is what he says in the fifth source that we're going to do, in the last source today. Bemedrash was osa bracha. However, if now tevah v'shatah ketzad yase yavuli achar tachtov Moshe Rabbeinu ola shalom pasach bevezoy shesiem bo Yaakov v'chula ayin shom. That's the medrash we saw, and if we don't look in the sources of the Sfas Emes, we would simply say, oh, that sounds very nice. That's why we need to read the whole Medrash, which we just learned. So now, he says, now he's going to add to this. Bira Inyan, what does this mean? Ki izeh Inyan hashlemus shebi Yisrael, shem kli ha-machzik bracha. The completion of Israel is to be found through the kli machzik bracha, which means, say, the entirety of this bracha. K'mo shekosuv en kli machzik bracha elo shalom. He says, first of all, you see, the only way to receive from the previous generation is through shalom. That's a very interesting point. Meaning, to say, even though there are people who make mistakes in Israel, the essential Klal Yisrael remains constant, and that constant also, so we'll call it centerpiece, is uninterrupted because there's always somebody who can fix this. What I think, again, this is a very, how's he drawing this from the Midrash? What I think is happening over here, La'anios Daiti, Hakotan. That's what I think the Sfas Emes is saying. What was the Midrash saying? The Midrash was talking about a halachic topic about making a mistake in tefillah. Where is it drawing it from? It's drawing it from the Avos and the Imos giving the Avos giving the brachas 1, 2, 3, and 4, 4 being Moshe Rabbeinu. Think about the parallel of those ideas. One is an idea about transmission of Masorah, the Aor or brachas, and the other is an idea of mistakes. Think what the Sfas Emes is saying is, in order to be able to continue after mistakes, in order to be able to continue even where there doesn't seem like everything is alright, you need to be able to follow the same pattern of Masorah, which means to say, to understand that the mistake is not intrinsic, it's extrinsic. Right? The Chatoim, any mistakes which are made, we'll view as peripheries. Those are going to be, in a certain sense, they are going to be the anomalies, and the centerpiece which holds us together is the transmission, which is central and is pristine. That's what's happening over here. I think that's what he's saying in terms of Mishetah. We have lots of mistakes in life. How do we fix them? Is we carry on where we left off. We don't take the detour where the mistake occurred. That's what the Midrash seems to be saying, the Sfas Emes is saying. Brilliant idea. And now if you think about this, he takes us one level further. V'zeh inyan Mishnah Torah v'zeh sabracha. That's why we have the idea of Mishnah Torah, of referring to the repetition of the Torah. What is Mishnah Torah referring to? Before the Rambam wrote his book, what's it referring to? The whole Sefer of Devarim. He says v'zeh sabracha, and concluded with v'zeh sabracha, Shemosh Rabbeinu alav shalom chazer v'hiskin, what was Mishnah Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu had his last speech. He said, Klal Yisrael, we need to sit down over here, a good 30-day speech, and we're going to review. We're going to look back over the last period of time, from Yetzias Mitzrayim till now. Let's work out what happened, what went right. This is what the Midrash means. Meaning, when the Midrash says, if a person makes a mistake, you replace that person, they started from the place that they made a mistake, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. After 40 years, he says, Rabbi, so let's just sit down for a moment. Let's consider what our life has looked like for the last 40 years. Let's understand the detours we took. Let's understand the mistakes we made. Let's understand all the imperfections that we had. And he gave them Musa, and there was Tochacha, and Devarim is sometimes hard to read if we really take it seriously, if we really read what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. It's not easy what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. And in fact, that's what Rashi says. He waited till Yom HaMisa because he was not able to say these things. People were going to tune him out if he was going to say it beforehand. But that is what is happening. And that's why, at the end of that, after we've done a review, after we've recalibrated, we've realigned the wheels after those 40 years, then we came over, Zos HaBracha. Now we are ra'oi. Now we are prepared to be able to receive the bracha as a continuation from the Avos, because we fixed up all the growths in the wrong direction. That's how we end this period. If you think about what we're doing today, we've had a whole long Yom Tovim, we've had a long year, we've gone through Rosh Hashanah, El Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Aseret Semesh, the whole business. Now we're at the Hoshana Rabbah, we're at the end of this whole period. We look back, we say, what could we have done better? What should we have done better? What we should want to aspire? That's now where we get to at this point in time. We get to Hoshana Rabbah, and we get to Shmini Atzeres. We come, are we willing to take that stock of everything, and what we've tried to change, now taking stock, we can say V'zos HaBracha. Now we can continue as part of, we're joining the main current, the mainstream of Klal Yisrael, where we're part of the whole. And mistakes are considered ancillary. Mistakes are considered extrinsic. They're not considered intrinsic. And that's how we enter. That's why Zos HaBracha is on Shmini Atzeres. So yes, there's Avram, there's Yitzhak, there's Yaakov. There's Pesach, there's Shavuos, there's Sukkos. But there's also Hoshana Rabbah and there's Shmini Atzeres. Let's not forget the idea sometimes we don't have anything to do or to represent, but we can still pray. And let's not forget that as we come into the very end, and we've looked back and we've fixed, and we pick up from the places we made mistakes, but still, at the end of the day, we can save a Zos HaBracha. We can continue with the bracha of the Torah. I think this is perhaps another perspective of entering into this.
No.